Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson, and we are continuing in our study of the book called The Miracle of Forgiveness. We are in chapter 5, and we are discussing what Spencer Kimball says is the sin next to murder. And he's talking about sexual sins, according to the Book of Mormon. We don't have time to go back into that. But we're going to go into a section he calls Dangers to Youth. And this is what Kimball says. This area of conduct presents a tremendous temptation, especially to the youth of this age, of loose talk and loose action on college campuses and elsewhere which favor premarital sex experience. How can one believe deeply in God and His scriptures and yield to unchastity? Now let me stop there and say, this is a temptation. There's no doubt about it. It's not just a temptation for young people. It's a temptation for adults as well. And the problem, of course, is we see that it reigns in both Mormonism and within Christian churches also. I think probably because it's not hounded enough from the pulpit in our Christian churches. Perhaps it should be. In fact, I would say, yes, it should be. Sexual sin is a horrible sin. We're not trying to discount this. But I want you to listen very carefully to what Spencer Kimball says about this. He goes on page 63 of his book to say, President David O. McKay has pleaded, and this is the quote, "Your virtue is worth more than your life. Please, young folk, preserve your virtue even if you lose your lives." Now, if you look at page 66 of the same chapter, he says, Kimball says, "Our young people should know that their partners in sin will not love or respect them if they have freedom in fondling their bodies. Such a practice destroys respect, not only for the other person, but for self. It destroys the ultimate respect for virtue, and it ignores the oft-repeated prophetic warning that one should give his or her life rather than to yield to loss of virtue." Now, can you imagine a young Latter-day Saint female who finds herself in the horrible predicament of a rape situation? And she's thinking of these words, "Your virtue is worth more than your life." Mm-hmm. What is going on in her head? Now, a Mormon might argue, well, McKay, Kimball, they're just using hyperbole. They're just making it sound extreme in order to get a point across to these young people, because let's be serious, sometimes you have to do that with not only young people, but adults as well. Hyperbole sometimes works. But is this really hyperbole? Is this the way it's supposed to be understood?
Bruce McConkie says in Mormon Doctrine on page 124, under the word chastity, "Many is the faithful Latter-day Saint parent who has sent a son or daughter on a mission or otherwise out into the world with the direction, quote, I would rather have you come back in a pine box with your virtue than return alive without it," end quote. I think here, if it's hyperbole, boy, that's pretty straightforward to me. If you're going to read the words for what they mean, what I read from what Kimball and McKay and McConkie are saying is, it's what it is.
How sad, of course, for any parent who finds out that their children are involved in sexual sin. Certainly that's a sad moment. I mean, you've tried to raise them right and you know, using, as Christians, we would say biblical precepts. And of course, Spencer Kimball would probably also say in trying to raise them in Mormon precepts. Mm-hmm. But still, if you're a Latter-day Saint parent and you really thought what Bruce McConkie just said,
ouch,
let me just say shame on you.
Wow.
Shame on you. That's a horrible thing to think. But yet, that is something that we find not only from the lips of Bruce McConkie, we find it also from the lips of Spencer Kimball, mm-hmm. because he is quoting, in the older versions, I might add, from a former president, Heber J. Grant. He goes on in the next paragraph on page 63, and another modern prophet, President Heber J. Grant has stressed the word of wisdom in this connection, not merely for its intrinsic importance, but because of what it often leads to. And then he goes on to say, the use of liquor and tobacco is one of the chief means in the hands of the adversary whereby he is enabled to lead boys and girls from chastity. Nearly always, those who lose their chastity first partake of those things that excite passions within them or lower their resistance and becloud their minds. Partaking of tobacco and liquor is calculated to make them a prey to immoral thoughts and actions. That is the end of the quote. However, that's the newer edition. What does the older edition leave out?
It changes a lot of things. Like that last sentence you just read, Bill, it says, partaking of tobacco and liquor is calculated to make them a prey to those things, which, if indulged in, are worse than death itself. That was taken out. This is the 1986 edition I have in my hands, and you have the 1996, I think, edition.
My copy of The Miracle of Forgiveness happens to be a 1999 edition.
So here's what has been left out. Besides that, Heber J. Grant wrote, and this is what was in the 1986 edition and before, I'm guessing, there is no true Latter-day Saint who would not rather bury a son or a daughter than to have him or her lose his or her chastity, realizing that chastity is of more value than anything else all in the world. Now, in the original, we looked it up. You have it there,
Bill.
We do.
I happen to have the book that Kimball
is citing.
Instead
of chastity, it's virtue.
Well, he changes not only some of the words, but, you know, it's funny because if we went changing quotations,
absolutely,
the Mormons would have a fit.
Right.
You know, we try very hard to cite these statements word for word.
The way it should be.
The way it should be, and we don't use a lot of SICs because sometimes the spelling or grammar is incorrect, but we want a quote that is accurate as possible. But the Mormons seem to have no problem with changing some of the quotations from their past leaders. We found that with the Journal of Discourses. We found that in other areas as well. But here is the way it reads on page 55 of Gospel Standards. It says, there is no true Latter-day Saint who would not rather bury a son or a daughter than to have him or her lose his or her virtue, realizing that virtue is of more value than anything else in the wide world. So they changed the wording a little bit. Still basically means the same thing. But still, if you're a Latter-day Saint, you would rather bury your son or daughter than to have him or her lose their virtue, lose their chastity. Certainly that would be a sad time for a parent, no doubt. But you would rather bury them? What kind of thinking is this?
Well, why did they take that out, do you think, Bill?
I think they took it out because they understood how horribly that comes across. There was an article in the Dialogue, a Journal of Mormon Thought many years ago, called Counting the Cost by Anita Tanner. And this is what she says. So she understood this thinking. She understood it this way. It wasn't hyperbole to her.
No,
she did not take it that way. And this is what she wrote. She says, it wasn't the silver balance scale the teacher used for a centerpiece. Initially, I thought it attractive, effective as a visual aid. It wasn't her manner or her voice, all appealing, that offended me. It was the words she quoted, not from the lesson manual, but from Spencer W. Kimball. Even mortal life itself, this is a quote, quote, even mortal life itself, when placed upon the balance scales, weighs less than chastity, end quote. The statement itself, she says, straightforward enough, didn't bother me as much as its implications, and the unnerving fact that I seem to be the only class member visibly disturbed. Other women copied the quote into their Relief Society manuals, smiling, nodding approval. I wanted to take issue, to challenge the statement in light of my own experience in gospel learning. I wondered if there were a woman in the class who had broken the law of chastity. How would this statement affect her? Would she then think she may as well commit suicide since she had lost what's more important than life? And what about repentance? Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow, Isaiah 1:18. What about the promised miracle of forgiveness? I thought of the doctrine of free agency, and I thought had been taught from childhood was most precious. If chastity was more important than life, why did God give us this second chance? Why let us come to earth with the myriad chances of losing chastity? Why not force us all to be chaste and forget earth life, thereby guarding what is more precious? And what did she say? She said she pored over Mormon doctrine and the miracle of forgiveness, and almost every LDS book, she says, I could lay hands on. To my astonishment, I found this quote by David O. McKay, in the miracle of forgiveness, the one that we just read. Your virtue is worth more than your life. Please, young folk, preserve your virtue, even if you lose your life. And then she goes on, because she must have had an older version. Heber J. Grant was also quoted on the same page. There is no true Latter-day Saint who would not rather bury a son or a daughter than to have him or her lose his or her chastity. This is what Mormon thinking about this subject does to you. And of course, this lady was appalled.
She's bothered by it very much.
She's bothered by it. She's bothered by it. And I can't help but think, what do you do in the case of rape based on these statements? Now, a Mormon might say, well, they're taking them out of context. Look how easily it might be then to take these verses out of these quotations out of context. They're not being very clear on this. Okay, what do you do in these horrible cases where a young woman finds herself? Is she supposed to think, if I find myself going through and this man raping me and I don't die, does that mean that I somehow didn't live up to my faith like I should? What would be going on in her mind? Maybe there's some Latter-day Saints out there that have gone through this. I'm curious to know what they might think. There could be a mix of opinion, no doubt. But still, by reading what he says, going by what he actually says on page 63 and 66 of The Miracle of Forgiveness, he doesn't seem to really address that issue.
If it is hyperbole, Bill, you don't do this with youth. Dangers to youth. I mean, this is probably getting read by parents to their kids, you know, and they're saying, look, you're not supposed to do this. Look how serious this is. This, I taught for 17 years to high schoolers, and they take things very literally. So to put something out there that could be possibly misunderstood would be wrong. I don't think he's messing around here. I think he's stating it as he believed it to be true.
Well, I certainly hope no modern Mormon has the same understanding or the same feelings that Bruce McConkie or a Heber J. Grant. I would hope that they would have a much more greater love for their offspring.
It's not Christian. That's not Christian, Bill.
No. And again, we're not downplaying the seriousness of sexual sin. It certainly is a sad state of affairs, and it is a problem. But I think the way Spencer Kimball handles this issue is certainly not handled in a biblical manner.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic, and this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.